4. Letters to Baha'i Institutions. These letters are presented chronologically and show the development of the institutions, Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Auckland, the National Spiritual Assembly, the Regional Teaching Committee. 42. March 31, 1926, to East Axford, Auckland Baha'i Group. Dear Spiritual Sister, Shoghi Effendi wishes me to acknowledge the receipt of your letter dated February 18, 1926. He well appreciates the wholehearted contributions the friends the world over have made to safeguard the neighbourhood of the shrines. We all hope that this spirit of quick response and action will permeate all the different activities of the cause. Shoghi Effendi, as well as the other members of the family, send you and through you, the Australian and New Zealand friends, their best love and greetings. They all await the good news of the progress of the movement in Australasia. With loving greetings, I remain yours very sincerely, Ruhi Afnan. My dear fellow worker, I fully appreciate the self-sacrificing efforts of the New Zealand Baha'is, and am glad to inform them that the surroundings of the shrines on Mount Carmel are secure. May the beloved reward them 100-fold. Convey my love and gratitude to them all. Your true brother, Shoghi. 43. May 14, 1926. To East Axford, Chairman, Auckland Spiritual Assembly. My dear Baha'i sister, I thank you on behalf of Shoghi Effendi for your letter of March 8th and for the second copy of the draft that you had sent enclosed. He has already received and cashed the first draft and has sent you the receipt for it. He appreciates very much indeed the help of the New Zealand friends, and I am sure they would all be very glad to know that the surroundings of the holy shrines on Mount Carmel have already been safeguarded. This is such a relief to Shoghi Effendi and all the friends who feared lest the approaches should fall into the hands of speculators and interested men. With heartfelt greetings to the friends in New Zealand, I am yours ever in his service, Sohail Afnan. Dear fellow worker, I wish to reassure you in person of my continued prayers for you, as well as for those friends who in the distant city of Auckland are labouring for the advancement of the cause in New Zealand. Please convey to them my brotherly greetings and very best wishes. I can never forget them, and they are ever near to me. Your true brother, Shoghi. 44. January 7th, 1935. To Margaret Stevenson, Secretary, Auckland Spiritual Assembly. Dear Baha'i Sister, the Guardian has duly received your beautiful message of 2nd of December, and he wishes me to thank you for it, as well as for the enclosed copy of the Auckland Assembly circular letter, which he has delivered to the Spiritual Assembly of Haifa for their perusal. He also wishes me to ask you to kindly inform Mrs. Blundell of the receipt of the 25 copies of the Maori pamphlet which she had lately mailed to him. These, together with those she had sent previously, have all been placed in his own library, and a few copies have also been placed in the mansion of Baha'u'llah at Bahji for the information of the general public. In closing, the Guardian wishes me to renew to you the expressions of his abiding and genuine appreciation of your labours for the cause in Auckland, and particularly in connection with your duties as Secretary of the local assembly. He is praying from the very depths of his heart for your progress and success in this important field of Baha'i service. With heartiest greetings to you and all the friends, yours in his service, H. Rabbani. Dearly beloved co-worker, I wish to assure you of my deepest appreciation of your constant and manifold services to the faith, and particularly of the share you have had in consolidating its administrative institutions in both Australia and New Zealand, whether local or national. My prayers will continue to be offered from the bottom of my heart for you and for your dear co-workers. Persevere and never feel disheartened. Your true brother, Shoghi. 45. September 26th, 1935. To National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Beloved Baha'i co-worker, in connection with the NSA's decision regarding the appointment of Mrs. Axford and Mr. Inman to keep records of Australian and New Zealand activities for the Baha'i world, the Guardian wishes you to assure your fellow members in the Assembly that he fully endorses their choice. He also wishes you to impress the newly appointed correspondents with the vital importance of their task and to urge them to acquit themselves of it with thoroughness, efficiency, and vigour. 46. April 26, 1936, to National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Beloved Baha'i sister, I am directed by the Guardian to thank you for your letter of the 30th of March informing him of the date of Miss Kitty Carpenter's arrival in Port Said. You can be sure that the friends will be most delighted to meet her and to render her journey to Haifa as safe and comfortable as possible. The Guardian himself is eagerly looking forward to the pleasure of meeting her, and cherishes the hope that through this pilgrimage she may receive a renewed stimulus to better work for the promotion of the faith upon her return home. 47. June 10th, 1936. To Hilda Brooks, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i sister, the Guardian would also advise that the local assemblies take a similar step and obtain official recognition from the authorities. In case the Auckland Assembly has been registered in the government, will you be so kind as to send him photostatic reproductions of any registration papers or documents that the Auckland Friends may have obtained from the authorities, as he wishes to have them published in the next Baha'i World? 48. November 17th, 1936. To Hilda Brooks, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i sister, on behalf of the Guardian, I acknowledge with deepest thanks the receipt of your letter of the 17th of October, and wish also to thank your Assembly for forwarding to him the photostatic reproduction of the registration certificate of the Assembly of Auckland. 49. January 31st, 1938. To Hilda Brooks, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i sister, the Guardian wishes me to express his loving thanks for your letter of the third instant, enclosing the half-yearly reports of the Perth and Auckland Spiritual Assemblies, all of which he has been delighted to read. He wishes you to write the Auckland Assembly, assuring them of his approval of the request they have made on behalf of Miss Kitty Carpenter for permission to visit Haifa. He has every hope that through this pilgrimage she will be greatly refreshed and strengthened spiritually, and will upon her return home impart to the friends in New Zealand some measure of the inspiration she will gain through close contact with the holy shrines. 50. November 2nd, 1938, to Hilda Brooks, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i Sister, the Guardian wishes me to express his gratification at the news of the enrollment of 3 new members in the Sydney Baha'i Group and of 2 others in the Auckland community. He will pray that these new believers may continue deepening in their faith and in their understanding of the teachings, and that each of them may arise and lend every assistance in his power to the further expansion and firmer consolidation of the faith in that far-off continent. 51, March 22, 1939. To Auckland Spiritual Assembly. Dear Baha'i brothers and sisters, the Guardian wishes me to gratefully acknowledge the receipt of your card conveying to him your Assembly's greetings for Nowruz, and to assure you how deeply he feels appreciative of the renewed expressions of love which you had felt prompted to transmit to him on such a happy and blessed occasion. He immeasurably values indeed your sentiments, and wishes me to take this opportunity of assuring your Assembly and all the members of the Auckland Baha'i community of his ardent prayers for the further extension of the faith and its firmer consolidation in your centre, and for the spiritual advancement and welfare of each and every member of your group. May this new Baha'i year we have just entered witness a fresh intensification of the spirit of service in the heart of each one of you, and lead you to scale still nobler heights of service and sacrifice in your stewardship to the cause. Reciprocating your kind greetings, and with all good wishes for a happy Nowruz, yours in his service, H. Rabbani. 52, April 19th, 1941. To National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, he was very sorry to learn that Miss Stevenson has passed on. He will pray for her joy and advancement in the worlds beyond. She had the great honour and blessing of being the first New Zealand believer, and her reward must be great. Dear and valued co-workers, the passing of yet another staunch and indefatigable worker, Miss Stevenson, constitutes yet another loss to the believers in that continent. The work which that exemplary pioneer has achieved, however, is imperishable. Kindly assure her relatives of my deep felt sympathy. Shoghi. 53, April 25th, 1941. To Auckland Spiritual Assembly. Dear Baha'i friends, Shoghi Effendi has instructed me to answer your Nowruz greetings of the year 98. He deeply appreciated your thought in sending him a message at such a time. The loving remembrance of the friends is dear to his heart in these heavy and sad times. He assures you that the friends of Australia and New Zealand are often in his thoughts and prayers, and he is so pleased with the continued evidences of their devotion and services to the cause of God. With Baha'i greetings, yours in his service, R. Rabbani. 54, April 18th, 1942. To National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i Sister, he was delighted to learn that the New Zealand members were able to make the trip to Australia, and that such a highly satisfactory NSA meeting was held in such a spirit of love and harmony. No doubt this experience will prove of great value, not only to the National Assembly, but also to the work of the cause in the days to come. 55, May 12th, 1944. To Dulcie Dive, Secretary, Auckland Spiritual Assembly. Dear Baha'i Sister, your letters, dated March 1st, 25th and March 21st, Baha'i Nowruz greeting, have been received, and the Guardian has instructed me to answer them on his behalf. He was very pleased indeed to hear that the cause in New Zealand is not only steadily progressing, but that it is winning such good friends as Reverend Chandler. Also, the preparations you are making for the centenary should serve to not only publicize the faith, but bring the believers closer to liberal-minded fellow citizens. He himself is at present frightfully busy with local preparations for the centenary and with cables and correspondence, but he wishes you all to know that his thoughts will be with you on this glorious day of the 100th anniversary of the Bab's declaration, and he will pray for all the New Zealand Baha'is in the holy shrines. With most loving greetings and best wishes from the Guardian for the success of all your plans, yours with Baha'i love, R. Rabbani. P.S. He appreciated very much your sending Nowruz greetings. May the Beloved bless your efforts, guide your steps, sustain you in your devoted endeavors, and enable you to promote effectively the best interests of his faith. Your true and grateful brother, Shoghi. 56. December 18th, 1949. To Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Auckland, New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, your letter of October 25th was received, and our Guardian was delighted to hear the details of this property you have purchased, and which he trusts will grow to be a very important Baha'i endowment. He will be pleased to receive the pictures of it. He felt that no name could be more befitting than that of dear Father Dunn. May the spirit this wonderful soul exemplified stream forth from your school and quicken those islands. With Baha'i greetings, R. Rabbani. P.S. Since writing this letter, yours of November 29th has been received. He will certainly pray for the success of your summer school sessions, so soon to begin, and for the speedy development of the new school property you have just purchased. May the Almighty bless bountifully your meritorious labours, guide and sustain you at all times and under all circumstances, aid you to overcome every obstacle that confronts you, and enable you to lend a tremendous impetus in the days to come to the progress of your historic work in that promising and faraway island. Your true and grateful brother, Shoghi. 57. June 28, 1950, to National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, as Mrs. Axford requested Mrs. Thomas to write about her Baha'i life, there is every reason to respect her wishes. This in no way precludes the New Zealand community from writing about her services and life and keeping this record in the National Archives. The Guardian feels the Auckland Assembly should be consulted as her, Mrs. Axford's, home community by Mrs. Thomas. He hopes this in memoriam article about so dear and tireless a servant of the faith will produce a spirit of love and cooperation amongst all concerned. The acquisition of the site for the New Zealand Summer School was a great step forward in the progress of the faith there, and he was very pleased about it. He was also delighted to hear of the formation of the Davenport Assembly, and he hopes next year there will be still more. 58. November 1st, 1950, to Bertram Dewing, Secretary, Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Auckland, New Zealand. Dear Baha'i Brother, your letter on behalf of the Assembly, as well as your personal note, dated July 6th, have been received. But due to the pressure of work piled up during the long and serious illness of Mr. Maxwell, the Guardian's correspondence has piled up unanswered for some time. He is very pleased to hear the cause is making progress in New Zealand and the Friends unitedly serving, which is the most important thing of all. He was also pleased to hear the summer school property will be gradually developed and serve the Friends and the community at large in other ways. He thanks you for the plan of it sent under separate cover. He sends his loving greetings to all the members of the Assembly and also would like to wish you success with your book. With Baha'i love, R. Rabbani. May the Almighty bless, guide and sustain you, remove all obstacles from your path, and enable you to win great victories for his faith and its God-given institutions. Your true and grateful brother, Shoghi. 59. March 1, 1951. To Mariette Bolton, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, I would like to add that the Guardian does not consider that it is advisable for New Zealand to be separated in the near future from Australia and come under the jurisdiction of an independent National Assembly. He considers that the present arrangement is the best one until such time as there are more assemblies flourishing in New Zealand, and he would consider the basis for a National Assembly strong enough there to support such an institution. 60. June 16, 1954, to James Heggie, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i brother, he was very happy to see that Mrs. Dunn was able to attend the New Zealand Baha'i Summer School. For a woman of her age, this was surely a remarkable achievement and must have been a great inspiration to the New Zealand Friends, coming as she did so freshly from the last Intercontinental Teaching Conference held in New Delhi. He attaches great importance to teaching the Aboriginal Australians and also in converting more Maoris to the faith, and hopes that the Baha'is will devote some attention to contacting both of these minority groups. Dear and valued co-workers, the multiplication of Baha'i isolated centres, groups and local assemblies in both Australia and New Zealand, a process that has been steadily and rapidly developing since the inauguration of the 10-year plan, is likewise of paramount importance in the years immediately ahead. The development of these institutions, particularly in New Zealand, will no doubt hasten the emergence of an independent National Spiritual Assembly in that territory, and will lend a tremendous impetus to the onward march of the faith in those regions. The purchase of a building in Auckland, destined to serve as the national Haziratul Quds of the Baha'is of New Zealand, is yet another objective on which attention should be immediately focused in anticipation of the erection of yet another pillar of the future House of Justice in that remote part of the world. 61. July 24, 1955. To James Heggie, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i brother, the news of the purchase of the Haziratul Quds in Auckland was most welcome. The acquisition of this building is really one of the prerequisites for the formation of the National Assembly of New Zealand. He hopes that the impetus this has given to the work of the faith there, combined with the devotion of the Baha'is, will speed the formation of local assemblies, which alone constitute the necessary firm foundation for the national body, a body which will be one of the direct pillars supporting the International House of Justice. He urges, therefore, your assembly to give all the teaching help it can to New Zealand and to encourage the believers there to do their utmost to achieve their goals. Dear and valued co-workers, the purchase of the Hazirattle Courts in Auckland as the future headquarters of the New Zealand National Spiritual Assembly is another accomplishment that merits the highest praise. The establishment of Baha'i endowments in the Dominion of New Zealand is yet another responsibility devolving upon their elected national representatives, a responsibility which should be discharged prior to the emergence of an independent national assembly in that distant and promising island. Whilst these immediate goals are being steadily and resolutely pursued, attention should, likewise, be particularly directed to the vital need for the constant multiplication of isolated centres, groups and local assemblies, as well as to the necessity of increasing to an unprecedented degree the number of the avowed adherents of the faith who can directly and effectively contribute to the broadening of its foundations and the expansion of its nascent institutions. Particularly in the Dominion of New Zealand, where a pillar of the future Universal House of Justice will soon be erected, must a fresh impetus be lent to this vital process, which can alone reinforce the foundations on which this projected institution must ultimately rest. 62, June 13, 1956, to James Heggie, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia and New Zealand. Dear Baha'i Brother, as regards the question the Auckland Assembly has asked about vivisection, there is nothing on this subject in the Baha'i teachings. At a future date, such matters will no doubt be taken up by the International House of Justice. He is delighted to hear that the New Zealand friends are so eagerly carrying on their work in preparation for their National Assembly next year. Their coming of age, so to speak, will be a source of pride to all their fellow National Assemblies, and they will form a welcome addition to the pillars which must ultimately sustain the International House of Justice. Dear and valued co-workers, particular attention should be devoted to the urgent needs of the New Zealand Baha'i community through the formulation of a plan which will enable it to swell the number of its administrative institutions, enlarging and reinforcing thereby the foundations on which its forthcoming National Assembly must ultimately rest. 63, September 5th, 1956, Secretary, Regional Teaching Committee for New Zealand. Dear Baha'i Brother, your letter of August 3rd with enclosure has been received by the beloved Guardian, and he has instructed me to answer you on his behalf. He was happy to see this report of the activities of the Baha'is in New Zealand, and will be pleased to receive a copy of your newsletter regularly. The Guardian wishes your committee and the believers there to know that he has high hopes for their future achievements in that far-off land, where they are now on the threshold of that historic event, the election of their own National Spiritual Assembly. He deeply values their devotion and the eager and fervent character of their services. With warm Baha'i greetings, R. Rabbani, assuring you of my loving prayers for your success and spiritual advancement. Your true brother, Shoghi. 64, April 4th, 1957, to Mrs. Clara Dunn. She was asked to read it on behalf of the Guardian at the convention and then give it to the New Zealand National Spiritual Assembly. Message from the Guardian at the inception of the New Zealand National Spiritual Assembly. I share with the assembled delegates gathered to elect on this historic occasion the second National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the Antipodes, the feelings of profound satisfaction and gratitude to Baha'u'llah evoked by this epoch-making event in the evolution of his faith in that far-off region of the globe. I am deeply conscious of the decisive share which the Australian Baha'i community, labouring during more than three decades for the spread of the light of this glorious revelation among the highly progressive people of that distant continent, has had in the laying of the foundations of the administrative order and the erection of yet another pillar of the future universal House of Justice in this remote dominion. The emergence of this independent Baha'i community, no matter how limited its numerical strength and modest its resources, must be regarded as a highly significant development in the rise and establishment of the Baha'i faith in the Pacific area, and should synchronize with the formulation on the part of the National Spiritual Assembly, now being elected in that island, of a subsidiary six-year plan designed to reinforce substantially the numerical strength of the community. To multiply its centres as well as its local spiritual assemblies, to incorporate the solidly grounded amongst them, to inaugurate a national fund, to obtain recognition for both the Baha'i Marriage Certificate and the Baha'i Holy Days, to lend an unprecedented impetus to the conversion of the Maoris and to ensure their active participation in the conduct of Baha'i administrative institutions, to extend the scope of the work already initiated in the South Island, to incorporate the newly formed National Spiritual Assembly, and to select and acquire a site for the first Mashrogal Askar of that dominion. I call upon the members of the Australian National Spiritual Assembly, as well as the members of the Australian Baha'i community, to continue to lend their valued support to this newly pledged sister community, and to enable it, through the extension of material assistance, as well as the dispatch of visiting teachers and pioneers, to contribute in an ever-increasing measure to the furtherance of the magnificent and colossal campaign now being so vigorously conducted in the North, in the South, and in the heart of the Pacific Ocean. May the outpourings of the Holy Spirit continue to energize this small yet resolute, forward-marching, dedicated community. And may the outcome of the collective efforts of its members contribute decisively to the triumphant consummation of the world crusade on which the entire body of the followers of the faith of Baha'u'llah have so confidently embarked. Shoghi. 65. May 20th, 1957. Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, our beloved Guardian has instructed me to write you on his behalf and inform you that the hand of the cause, Mr. Varghar, will shortly be forwarding to your assembly the equivalent of 500 English pounds as the Guardian's contribution to your newly established national fund. He hopes that in the formulation of your plans, particular attention will be given to the all-important teaching work, the foundation of all the activities of the faith and the most urgent task facing the friends in this critical period the world is passing through. You may be sure he will pray for your success. With Baha'i greetings, R. Rabbani. 66. June 27, 1957. Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of New Zealand. Dear Baha'i sister, I am instructed by our beloved guardian to write you on his behalf and assure you he was most happy to receive your letter, dated May 4th. He rejoices with the New Zealand Baha'is in the formation of their historic National Assembly. They are now firmly launched on the course of their own destiny, and undoubtedly the faith will go forward very much faster. They have an advantage not shared by many of their fellow National Assemblies of exclusively administering the affairs of the faith in a small area, which means that they can function much more efficiently. When one remembers the many years that the New Zealand and Australian believers toiled to carry on the work in those two countries, with the sea in between and inadequate funds to provide transportation, which necessitated so much of the National Assembly's work being carried on by correspondence, one can appreciate the advantages you now enjoy. The formation of a new national body, in any case, is an organic thing, and a new and lively flow of life will go out into all the members of the community from this assembly. As regards the question you asked him about the site for the temple, this need not be a large piece of land at this time. 3 or 4 acres would be sufficient for the site if you find suitable land is expensive. If the worst comes to the worst, when the time comes to build the temple, the site can be changed. In Uganda some years ago, they purchased a temple site and later a large piece of land for their endowment. With the guardian's permission, they exchanged the two as the endowment's position was better for the temple. So you see, it need not be too rigid. The point is to get a temple site as soon as possible. He feels it should be in the outskirts of Auckland, within easy motoring distance, so that the friends can attend services there. Naturally, the closer to the city, the better. As you formulate your plans and carry them out for the work entrusted to you during the next 6 years, he wishes you to particularly bear in mind the need of teaching the Maoris. These original discoverers of New Zealand are of a very fine race, and they are a people long admired for their noble qualities, and special effort should be made not only to contact the Maoris in the cities and draw them into the faith, but to go to their towns and live amongst them and establish assemblies in which at least the majority of the believers will be Maoris, if not all. This would be indeed a worthy achievement. The beloved guardian assures you all of his prayers for the success of the historic work you are now undertaking, and he feels sure you will achieve your goals. With warmest Baha'i greetings, Ruhiye. Dear and valued co-workers, the emergence of the New Zealand National Spiritual Assembly as a result of the convocation of the first Baha'i Historic Convention held in that far away and promising dominion will be hailed by posterity as an event of the greatest significance, marking the erection of another pillar designed to support, in the South Pacific area, the future Universal House of Justice. My heart overflows with happiness and is filled with gratitude as I contemplate the splendid progress achieved in recent years in that far-off island, and note the loyalty and devotion with which the members of this valiant community, now standing on the threshold of unprecedented achievements, have discharged their manifold and sacred responsibilities. The 6 brief years that now lie ahead must witness a swift expansion in the scope of Baha'i activities throughout the length and breadth of that dominion, as well as a steady consolidation of the foundations of the institutions that have been so painstakingly laid. The 6-year plan, upon which the New Zealand believers have now so auspiciously embarked, must be diligently prosecuted and brought to a triumphant conclusion. All must participate, whether young or old, veterans as well as newly enrolled believers. All must contribute their share to the ultimate success of this mighty collective enterprise, however limited their means, however modest their abilities, however restricted the range of their previous experiences. The increase in the number of the avowed adherents of the faith, the multiplication of isolated centres, groups, and local assemblies, the incorporation of the newly formed National Spiritual Assembly, as well as all firmly grounded local assemblies, the recognition of the Baha'i Marriage Certificate by the civil authorities and of the Baha'i Holy Days by the superintendent of schools in that island, the rapid conversion of the Maoris and their close association with the white believers in the administration of the affairs of the community, the consolidation of the work energetically initiated in the South Island, the selection and purchase of the site for the Mother Temple of New Zealand. These stand out as the foremost objectives of the plan, now demanding of its high-minded, determined prosecutors the utmost consecration, unrelaxing vigilance, and the noblest self-sacrifice. The tasks challenging the spirit and resources of this community, whose numerical strength is as yet so limited, whose material resources are so circumscribed, whose past experiences have in many respects been confined to a narrow range, are truly formidable. The allotted time during which so stupendous an undertaking is to be consummated is short. The obstacles confronting its members are varied and manifold. Yet the sustaining grace promised to all those who will arise with single-mindedness, courage, dedication, and high resolve to aid in the attainment of these noble objectives is of such potency that no earthly power can resist the ultimate fulfillment of so glorious a task, or even delay its eventual fruition. I appeal most earnestly to all those who in both the teaching and administrative fields are committed to carry out so magnificent an enterprise, as well as to those who in an unofficial capacity are called upon to further by every means in their power the interests of this epoch-making plan, to dedicate themselves at this hour to the arduous yet infinitely precious task they have shouldered, and to devote in the days and years that lie ahead every ounce of their energy to the systematic prosecution of a plan on which the immediate destinies of the entire New Zealand Baha'i community directly depend, and which can alone provide the stepping stone to the still more brilliant achievements destined to ennoble the annals of the faith in that remote island of the globe. Shoghi. 67, July 19th, 1957, to Noel Walker, Secretary, National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Australia. Dear Baha'i Brother, As regards the Herald of the South magazine, in view of the important work lying ahead of your assembly, and the fact that this magazine is a drain on the limited resources of the community, he thinks it would be quite all right to suspend publication until a future date, when the financial situation permits such expenditures to be made with relative ease. He leaves, however, the final decision to your assembly. The committee responsible for the publication of this magazine has certainly laboured valiantly throughout the years, and the publication will be missed by its readers. However, it is some years since the American Baha'i magazine was abandoned for similar reasons, and the Guardian feels that you can do so in Australia, and the funds be used to better advantage at this time. However, now that you have found a printer in Sydney and appointed a new committee, he thinks you should continue it and give the new plan a try. The successful culmination of the long-standing partnership of the Australian and New Zealand Believers through the emergence of the New Zealand NSA is a source of great satisfaction to the Guardian and no doubt to all the members of both communities. He feels sure this will mark a turning point in the work in the Antipodes and the neighbouring islands, and give a new lease of life to the teaching work throughout that area. Both your assembly and that of New Zealand have now emerged into your permanent form as pillars of the future International House of Justice. The bones of the skeleton of the world order are growing strong, but only the teaching work can clothe them with flesh. Dear and valued co-workers, particularly commendable and indeed exemplary has been the share of the Australian Believers in enabling the New Zealand Baha'i community to make such rapid strides in recent years. Strides that have prepared it for the assumption of its sacred and vital function as an independent community, and which culminated in the formation of a body qualified to take its place and assume the weighty responsibilities incumbent on it as a distinct and separate member of the worldwide family of Baha'i national and regional spiritual assemblies. 68. August 30th, 1957. Secretary, Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the City of Auckland. Dear Baha'i friends, this is just a brief note on behalf of the beloved Guardian to acknowledge your letter of July 5th, 8th Rahmat, 114, and tell you he appreciates your action in sending the cable to Iran and assure you of his loving prayers for the rapid progress of the faith in Auckland. With warm Baha'i greetings, R. Rabbani. May the Almighty sustain you in your constant and meritorious endeavours, guide every step you take, and bless every effort you exert for the promotion of the interests of his faith. Your true brother, Shoghi. 69. September 9th, 1957, to the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of New Zealand. Dear Baha'i friends, the beloved Guardian is very anxious to secure information as to the native tribes which have been contacted by any of the believers in your area. And of course, if there are any believers from these tribes, that would be even more interesting. Can you prepare a list showing the number of tribes that have been contacted, and of these tribes, the number who have become believers? This would be very interesting information. Can you secure it at an early date and send it on to the beloved Guardian? With loving Baha'i greetings, I am faithfully yours, Leroy Iowas.